The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Nobody Told Me. I'm Laura Owens.
And I'm Jan Black. It's a pleasure to welcome our guest on this episode, time management expert Laura Vanderkam. Laura is the best-selling author of several books, including What the Most Successful People Do Before Breakfast, and her latest book, Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done.
Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So how did you decide on the title Off the Clock for the new book? What's the story behind that?
Well, I, have a lot going on in my life, as I'm sure many of your listeners do too, between work and family. And I had managed to get away with my husband for a weekend in July of 2016. He was meeting me in Maine, and I went for a run that morning. I was all by myself. And as I was running along, it was this pleasant morning, I kept having this thought pop into my head of what do I have to do next? What's the next thing on the agenda? What
right.
do I have to do? But the truth was there was nothing. And I realized I'm off the clock, same as if I'd punched out of a job. I feel completely off the clock. And that sort of sense of time freedom kind of stuck with me because I know it's a very rare thing for busy people. And yet it's a very profound feeling too. And I wondered what we could do to try to capture that. And so I wrote this book to try to figure that out.
And how did you become a time management expert?
Well, I've long been interested in how people spend their lives, spend their hours. I started out as a journalist and I got to interview a lot of fascinating people and I found I was always asking them about their schedules. So writing about time management came out of that.
So I'm sure a lot of people ask you this, but what are people like Bill Gates and Elon Musk doing with their time that the average person isn't doing that makes them so successful?
Well, I think there's lots of things beyond just the sheer way they're spending their hours. And even if you tried to exactly replicate, say, what Bill Gates or Elon Musk did with their hours, it didn't mean you would become those people. There's lots of things that lead into people's stories. But I do think that people who achieve great things tend to be mindful of how they are spending their time. It's hard to achieve great things without putting some thought into what needs to be done to achieve those goals, the various steps that need to be taken, making sure that those take priority in your life and that you don't get derailed from them. Because it's so easy to get distracted by lots of other things, sometimes very good things. We fill our lives with all kinds of stuff that we have to do. But if it's derailing your larger goals, then maybe it's still wasted time.
So using time better is a process, according to you, and you say it's important to establish what you want to get out of life. So what's the first step to take in that process?
Well, I think one of the best ways to start spending your time better is to figure out where the time is going now. I've been tracking my time for over 3 years continuously, which nobody needs to do that. 3 years is a bit much, but I get to write about it, so,
sure.
So that's fun for me. But most people, just try tracking your time for a week, if you can. Writing down where the time goes, how you're spending each day, both at home and at work, when you sleep, all that good stuff. And after a week, look at it and see what you think about it. Does it seem like the hours are where you thought they'd be? Are they high or low in different categories? How do you feel about this? Or is there anything that you're not spending time on that you would like to? Or is there anything you're spending a lot of time on that you wouldn't like to be spending time on? And when you see that and see the numbers, then you can start taking practical steps to make changes to get closer to the life that you wish to be leading.
Can you talk to us about your idea of making a list of 100 dreams?
Yeah, so this is an idea I borrowed from a life coach named Caroline Sinisa Levine. She has her clients list out 100 things that you would like to do with your time, with your life, like goals and things. Lots of people have made a bucket list at some point or another, but often those bucket lists have like 20 things on them. 100 is really hard.
Absolutely.
You gotta keep going. You have to keep coming back to the list. You have to, think about it for a long time. And the good thing about it is then it's not edited, right? Like, you know, the bucket list of 20 items, it's got to be all important, big, wonderful things. By the time you're getting to 100, you're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. I mean, it's stuff like, you know, we should try that seafood restaurant in the next town over that we've never been to. There's that state park that's half an hour away that we never visited. So that's the stuff that's going on by the end of the 100 items. But the good thing about that is those items are things that you can really start doing in the near future. The trip to Portugal maybe needs a little bit of planning, not going to happen in the next 6 months or so. But, you know, the state park could happen this weekend. And often what's happening is that people tell themselves they have no time. And so we don't even think about what we do with our free time because, remember, I have no time. But, you know, when we have this list, then we start looking for places that we could do these things. These things become top of mind. And as you start filling your life with this fun stuff, I mean, you learn a lot about who you are. But you also start believing that you are the kind of person who has the time for these things. And that's actually very important for having a sense of time abundance, for having a sense of, control over our time.
You contend that time is elastic and that it will stretch to accommodate what you choose to put in it. And I think that's a concept that's easy to understand when you think of how you stretch time to deal with an unexpected emergency, for example. All of a sudden, you find the time that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been telling a story in my speeches for years of, you know, I've had thousands of people track their time for me. One particular woman stood out for me just because of how obvious this reality was on her time log. She's a very busy woman, worked in finance, had two kids. She goes out on a Wednesday night for something, comes home to find that her water heater has broken. So there is water all over her basement. Pretty big mess, you know, homeowners who've had this happen to them. All of the details of this are being recorded on her time log, but she's dealing with the water everywhere that night, the plumbers the next day, the professional cleaning crew to deal with her ruined carpet. It's all recorded on her time log and winds up taking 7 hours of her week. And if you read a lot of time management literature, you note that a lot of it is sort of based on this idea, well, we're going to help our readers, our viewers, our listeners find an extra hour in the day. And if you think about it, finding 7 hours in the week is the equivalent of finding an extra hour in the day. Like, she did it. She found an extra hour in the day. But we sort of had this conversation about, like, you know, if we had this, you know, talked about this before the week and said, like, can you find 7 hours to whatever it is, you know, read 7 hours in War and Peace or train for a triathlon or 7 hours for that side hustle you want to do? I think most of us would have been very hard pressed to find 7 hours to do those things. But when she had to find 7 hours, because there's water all over her basement, she found 7 hours. And that's what we mean by time being highly elastic. Like, you can't make more time, but it will stretch to accommodate what you need to put into it. And so then the question is, well, how can we start treating our priorities as the equivalent of that broken water heater? How can we choose to treat them as extremely important and urgent that we're going to get to them with that same level of focus that we would with an emergency?
We're so glad that you're part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. Our conversation continues as we tell you more about our sponsor, Green Chef, and a special offer they have just for our listeners. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company that makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle.
Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. Now choose from more than 50 weekly menu and market items.
Discover exciting new flavors that support your healthy lifestyle. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating clean. Feel your best with delicious, nutritionist-approved recipes featuring clean ingredients with no artificial colors, sweeteners, high fructose corn syrup, and limited added sugar and processed ingredients.
Eat clean the easy way with recipes that help manage your weight and support your wellness goals without skimping on flavor. Choose from recipes featuring lean proteins like turkey, sockeye salmon, barramundi, tilapia, scallops and shrimp, certified organic whole fruits and vegetables, organic cage-free eggs, and plenty of whole grain options.
You know, my latest Green Chef favorite is buttery lemon garlic shrimp with linguine, sautéed squash, and sun-dried tomatoes.
I know, that one is so great, and I'm also really loving Green Chef's chicken and potato soup with corn, roasted red peppers, sharp cheddar cheese, and chives. Do yourself a favor and go to greenchef.com and check out the wonderful menu options you can choose from.
Green Chef is the only meal kit that is both carbon and plastic offset. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions to your door, as well as 100% of the plastic in every box. Plus, nearly all packaging materials are curbside recyclables in most areas of the United States.
Make more time for your summer goals with Green Chef's convenient step-by-step recipes with options ready in less than 30 minutes. Plus, cut down on meal prep with pre-portioned and prepped ingredients, including pre-measured sauces, spices, and dressings delivered right to your door.
And here's the special offer for Nobody Told Me listeners. Just go to greenchef.com/nobody50 and use code NOBODY50 to get 50% off plus free shipping.
Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well.
Just go to greenchef.com/nobody50 and use code NOBODY50 to get 50% off plus free shipping.
In your TED Talk, you talk about how people say that they don't have time for certain things, like they don't have time to go to the gym or hang out with friends. What does that usually mean?
Well, what I don't have time means is that it's not a priority. And, you know, that's kind of harsh to say that like that. I'm not saying that you say that to your friends just like that. Like, no, I can't hang out with you because you're not a priority. But if we at least acknowledge in our minds that that is what we are saying, then it helps us get clear on whether that is true or not. And if it is true that something's not a priority right now, that's fine. We should acknowledge that. Maybe it is not a priority to exercise right now. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but that could be true, right? No. Maybe it's not a priority to hang out with those particular friends at this stage in your life. There may be other things that are bigger priorities for the near future. But by acknowledging that to ourselves, it puts us more in control of our time. It reminds us that time is a choice. If we're making choices we don't like, we can choose differently, at least over the long run. I mean, maybe not immediately tomorrow, but certainly over the long run, we can make a lot of choices in our lives. But if you find yourself saying it and you realize, well, actually, that's not true. This is a priority for my life. That can empower you to choose differently and to make space for it, even if you are pretty busy.
And that phrase, I feel, is so overused when people say, I don't have time. And I didn't realize how often I say it myself, not realizing that, you know, I actually could make the time if I just tried some different time management strategies.
Well, it's true. You know, one way to think about it, I tell people this, is like, whatever it is you're saying you don't have time for, like if somebody offered to pay you $100,000 to do it, my guess is you would find the time, right? It would go up the priority list pretty quickly. Obviously, that is not going to happen for the vast majority of these things, but it reminds us that really it's what you choose to make a priority. Again, there may be really good reasons you're not making it a priority, but I don't have time. Yeah, it's generally just not true.
You found that people who feel like they have enough time are people who have let go of expectations of perfection in their lives. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, we all have the same amount of time, but a lot of things that sort of waste time is this mental rumination, this anguish over, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I not doing what I'm supposed to be? Should I be doing something else right now? It can really eat up a lot of time. Decision making, for instance, like you're trying to find the absolute best thing. And in most of life, there is no absolute best thing. I mean, you know, any restaurant will probably feed you pretty decently. Any hotel will probably be fine. You can learn from these choices. And if there's massive downsides, well, you'll choose differently next time. But I find that people who are willing to sort of make decisions quickly and move on with it, we're able to save a lot of time. But people who also sort of let go of expectations of perfection of what they could achieve in any given period of time were also more relaxed about time. It's the sort of thing, if you set out to write a novel, like you just sit down at your computer, it's like, well, okay, I'm going to write a novel now. I mean, that's pretty overwhelming. Like, I'm going to sit down and do 80,000 words. What on earth? Like,
you've got to break it up a little bit.
Yeah, you got to break it up a little bit. And the thing is, though, if you break it up into small enough bits that you feel no resistance to those individual chunks, you can get a lot done. So what if you get up every morning, you know, 5 mornings during the week, write 400 words? Well, that's 2,000 words per week. That's 80,000 words in 40 weeks. That is less than a year, right? Like, and one way or another, 40 weeks is going to pass. Like, the next 40 weeks will eventually go by and we will be on the other side of the next 40 weeks. If you do that, you do your 400 words every morning, you will have your book. If you don't, then you won't. Mm-hmm. But 400 words is just not that much. I mean, my guess is you've probably sent that amount of words in emails by 9 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's really just about having these little goals and doing them consistently, and it adds up to big things.
How has technology helped or hurt our time management skills? And I say this thinking that there are so many apps available right now that are supposed to help with our time management skills, but at the same time, they're making us be on our phone more.
I think that you're onto something there. And I actually don't use a whole lot of apps, productivity apps of any sort. And people sometimes ask me, oh, when are you going to launch your productivity app? I'm like, well, the problem is that the more apps you have on your phone, the more interesting your phone becomes.
Right.
And I really don't think that the cause of time management and productivity is served by being on the phone more. So in general, you know, even if something would help you a bit, make you like 5% more productive at whatever you were going to do, you could easily lose that 5% by then checking Facebook after opening your productivity app and say, hey, I'm still on my phone. Let me see what else is here. So, in general, I found in Off the Clock, when I did a time diary study, I looked at, you know, 900 busy people's lives and asked them to track their time. And I asked them how they felt about their time. And I found that the people who were most relaxed about their time and felt like they had the most time checked their phones about half as frequently as the people who felt most stressed and starved for time.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, another finding of yours that kind of goes along with that is that people who feel like they have more time in their lives spend more time reflecting, doing things like praying or meditating or journaling. Tell us more about what's behind that.
Well, so the thing about time is that it keeps passing whether you think about where it's going or not. It's kind of like you're in a canoe in a river. And it's pretty hard to sort of get your bearings and direct things as you're, you know, in the midst of these rapids going. And so the thing about reflective activities is it allows you to sort of step over to the side a little bit and look at the direction of the current and say, well, is that where we should go? Or how should I direct my boat to best get around these things? And, you know, it's just to pause and reflect on your life makes you feel more in control of your time. And that makes you feel like you have more time. It feels like you're making active choices about how you wish to spend your time. If you're doing things in your life that make you happy, or if not, things that, you know, if you're doing things that are meaningful, and if not, why not? Whereas if you don't do those things, then time just keeps rushing by. And as it rushes by, it starts to feel like it is slipping through your fingers, right? Slipping from one side of the hourglass to the other. Mm-hmm. And so in this time diary project, I found that the people with the most abundant perspective on time engaged in these reflective activities relatively frequently, probably, you know, generally at least every other day. Whereas about half the people with the lowest time perception scores never did any of these activities. And the ones who did, you know, did them very infrequently. It'd be like once a week or something. So yeah, the more you do it, the more you pause to reflect, the more time you will feel you have.
What is your best advice for avoiding distractions while we're doing really boring work?
Well, could you do less boring work?
I mean, I guess there's my answer.
In that time is, you know, time is broadly a choice. There's very few things that we absolutely have to stick with, you know, for the long term and have no say in. Even if you were like doing prison labor or something, maybe if you were really good at one aspect of it, you could get them to like let you do more of it over time. And most of us are not in that situation, right? What it is that you're, you know, stuck in a boring meeting and you're not happy about it. But certainly over the long run, you could say, well, why are we having this meeting? Or maybe I should, you know, let me show you how awesome I am at this one particular variety of work, show your manager that. And lo and behold, you may be put on more of that if you achieve great results in that. If you're saving your company money or making them more money in various things, you know, they will have you do more of that. And maybe you find that less boring. So I would take the long-term perspective of figuring out how you can do more of the work that you are best at and most excited by, and less the work that is boring. Now, that said, I know that we all have these moments. I think trying to be present is often better than trying to distract yourself. Focusing on the people and the relationship. I mean, maybe you can view a boring meeting as a chance to really get to know one of your colleagues better, or to imagine, you know, ways that you could really think hard about this particular project. We're better off focusing. That often makes us more engaged. Being more engaged tends to be more exciting than being disengaged. I mean, you know, it's distracting ourselves tends to be about killing time, whereas going all in on something is more about expanding it.
As we've mentioned, your book is called Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. And I'm wondering, isn't it tough to feel less busy if the economic realities of your life require you to work two or three jobs while trying to raise a family?
Definitely some people are busier than others. And I know that there are times in life and phases of life that are just tough. I do believe that over the long run, we can try to improve things. We can know that, for instance, children grow up and that time tends to open up more as they get older, which is, you know, sometimes people feel like those years are really fleeting, but they do pass and then children become more independent. But I think, you know, anyone can track their time and see where they might be able to find 10 minutes, right? Just a little bit of time in your day that you can seize for something that is meaningful for you. You know, 5 minutes to pray or meditate while you're waiting for the bus. You know, 5 minutes to read something on, you know, the Kindle app on your phone. There's lots of free ebooks, for instance. If you have a phone, you can get the free Kindle app, put ebooks on there that are like free or 99 cents. You can read in those little bits of time. And suddenly, you know, you're spending 15 minutes a day reading. Well, that's, you know, almost 2 hours a week. You start to get through a reasonable number of books if you're devoting that time. And then in your mind, you're like, I become the kind of person who has time to read. And I figure out if there are ways I can scale that up over time. So even if we feel like we have a lot going on, we're very busy, it's a tough phase of life, lots of our 168 hours in a week are spoken for, we can still take these small bits of time and really dwell in them, you know, savor them as we can, really enjoy those times rather than focusing on all the time that we don't feel we have.
We're excited to have you as part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. And we know you're like us and you want to do the right thing to keep your body healthy. So stay tuned to hear more about how our Nobody Told Me listeners can get a very special offer from our sponsor, Ritual, the obsessively researched vitamin for women.
Vitamin labels can be disappointing and misleading with questionable ingredients and sugary formulas. But then there's Ritual, made for skeptics by skeptics. With their multivitamin for women, what you see is what you get, and what you get is good.
You may have heard us talk about Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin, which was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women over the age of 18. Its nutrients help support brain, bone, and blood health, in addition to providing antioxidant support.
Laura and I started taking Ritual Essential for Women multivitamins a couple of years ago. I really like the way they smell minty and leave your mouth feeling fresh without that fishy aftertaste that some other vitamins really have.
That's important to me too, and I also love that its capsule design is gentle on an empty stomach since I take Ritual Essential for Women every morning before I work out.
The minty essence in every bottle keeps things fresh and helps make taking your multis actually enjoyable every day.
Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is one of the few women's multivitamins that's USP verified, meaning what's on the label is what's in the formula. It's also soy-free, gluten-free, vegan-friendly, and formulated without GMOs.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Ritual is offering our listeners 20% off during your first month.
Visit ritual.com/NTM to start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today.
Again, Ritual is offering our listeners 20% off during your first month. This really is a great deal. All you have to do is visit ritual.com/NTM to start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today.
And while you're there, check out their other fantastic products as well. That's ritual.com/NTM.
We've talked a lot on Nobody Told Me about how it seems like as we get older, it's harder and harder to maintain friendships. What advice do you have to try and keep these friendships up if we have a job or a family that's taking up most of our time?
Well, I think, you know, there is a certain amount of winnowing that happens when you have a demanding job and a family. There are some relationships that just aren't going to be a priority anymore. And sad as that sounds, that may be the case. You may need to pare it down to just a few people who you really feel are kind of your soulmates, who energize you, who make life feel so much better and doable. But you should really try to go all in on keeping those relationships, those handful that really make life feel more doable. The best thing you can do to make sure you see your friends relatively frequently is not to fear commitment. I know a lot of busy people feel like, well, I can't commit to something because, you know, oh, there's so much going on in my life. But the people who see their friends are the ones who say, okay, the first Thursday of every month, we are always going to do a potluck dinner at somebody's house, right? We are always going to do it the first Thursday of the month, because then you start building your life around it, and your spouse and kids know to plan for it, and your colleagues know that, yeah, she can work late Wednesday, but if you make her work for late Thursday, she's going to be really, really mad. So we're not going to do that, right? And so then you know you will see your friends on the first Thursday of every month. Nobody has to plan it each individual time because it's already on the calendar. So go ahead and build in these recurring commitments, because ultimately those are the things that make you feel like you have more time. And I know that sounds like a paradox, like a commitment, something that takes time, makes you feel like you have more time. But what it is that you start to feel like, I'm the kind of person who has friendships, who sees my friends regularly. And that gives you a more abundant perspective on your hours, and that can make life feel a lot more doable.
You also say that building rich memories can expand time, both as those memories are being created and as they're being viewed in your rearview mirror. And that's one reason you urge people to build adventure into their lives. Tell us about that.
So a lot of people, as we get older, we have the sense that time is going faster, right? Time is kind of slipping away. Where did the time go? But when people say, where did the time go? What they really mean is that I don't remember where the time went. So when time isn't memorable, then we don't remember it. And that's what it makes it feel like. It's just slipping from one side of the hourglass to the other. And so the way to deal with that is to try to make more memories with your time. Try to do more new, adventurous, novel, different, exciting, meaningful things, because that forms more memories and that expands time. Just one sort of practical way to think of this is if you take a vacation somewhere kind of exotic, like the first day seems incredibly long. And partly that's because your brain doesn't know what it needs to remember, so it's remembering all of it. And that, as you're laying down more memory units, time seems to expand, because the more memory units we have of any given unit of time, the bigger it seems. So obviously not every day can be vacation. Not every day can be massively different from every other day. And there's great things about routines in life. But if you can answer the question of why is today different from other days, then you are more likely to remember it. So it doesn't have to be elaborate, but just some little adventure. What could you do? You know, take your colleagues to a different restaurant for lunch, or have a picnic in the park at work, or, you know, park in a different garage and walk past, an interesting neighborhood into work, or maybe stop by a little store on your way back to your car after work, or take your family to the playground after dinner instead of just watching TV. But if you can do something that's a little bit different or out of the ordinary, then you are more likely to remember that day.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I'm wondering what you think is the most important thing for people to do first thing in the morning when they wake up.
Well, you know, it's probably not check your email, I guess.
Right.
as long as it's not that, you're probably good. Not hitting snooze, also a good idea. morning routines are really great for people whose lives permit them. And there's some people who don't. You know, if you are waking up far earlier than you want to with a infant, for instance, like, you know, you're off the hook for a morning routine. It's okay. For many people, morning is a great time to do those, you know, important but not urgent things that life has a way of crowding out. So things like thinking about your long-term career plans, or maybe writing that list of 100 dreams, or doing that meditation, or exercising, or writing that novel, or maybe even spending time with your family. Like if family dinner doesn't happen because everyone's so busy, maybe family breakfast could be a great time that you could all spend together. But think about what would add joy and meaning to your life. What is something that is important to you that you can't seem to find time for anywhere else in your life? And then that could make the first building blocks of a really good morning routine. Because if you start your day with that, like you start with a victory like that, I mean, how can it not be a good day?
Now, why are nights not as effective when it comes to getting things done? Because I sort of see myself as a night person and more effective getting things done at 11 o'clock at night when the house is quiet and I can be on the computer by myself. But I know you feel very strongly about mornings being really important for time management.
Well, there are definitely people who are night owls. And if you are truly doing your best work at night, you are focused, you are disciplined, you are writing that great American novel at night, like, that's great. You are a night owl. That's fine. Most people who say that they are not morning people, what they mean is that they are tired in the morning. Mm-hmm. But that's a different matter. That's often because they went to bed too late the night before.
Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah, well, you know, if you track your time and see that you're spending that hour or two before bed doing things that are not feeling all that great for you. You know, you're puttering around on the internet, like Instagram bender, like looking through houses that, you know, you're never going to own. You're like puttering around the house, like sorting the mail pile for the 10th time or just hitting next and the next Netflix queue. Like if that's you for like 2 hours before bed, you might want to cut that off a little bit earlier, go to bed a little bit earlier. You can wake up a little bit earlier and turn those unproductive evening hours into morning, you know, productive morning hours. What's often happening at night is that it takes energy to stop all that and go to bed. Like that's a decision. It's hard to make that decision. And so people just keep going and they want to have me time. And, you know, by the time the house is clean and the kids are in bed, it's late. So they want to have more me time. It just goes too late. And then you don't have space in your life for these things because, you know, people aren't going to go do that workout at 10 p.m. or they don't have enough energy to write that novel at 10 p.m. So if that's the case, then they're probably better off going to bed earlier, waking up earlier and doing this, you know, productive stuff in the morning.
Which goes along with another thing that you say, that time management is really energy management. Explain.
Well, yeah, a lot of people have pointed this out, that you can't make more time, but you can renew your energy. And so often you have to think about, well, will I be able to do this work I am assigning myself to do at this particular time of day? Or is this time of day best suited for something else? And often people sort of shoot themselves in the foot with this. You know, they get to the office and they are the kind of people that morning hours would be most productive, most focused, most disciplined. And they get to the office and spend the first 3 hours like going through their inboxes. Well, you know, you're going to get through your inbox at some other point. Like email can fit in those 15-minute chunks of time between meetings or when you're feeling really tired at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But you probably aren't going to do whatever that big, important, requires a lot of thought project is, you know, in the afternoon because you won't have the energy. So better to, you know, reserve your mornings for that. Have some of this lower energy tasks happen later in the day. So think about when you'll have the energy to do something before you assign yourself a certain time to it.
It always seems to take me forever to get ready in the morning. And I'm wondering what tips you have to speed up that process.
Well, I mean, sometimes if you give yourself less time, it will take less time.
Isn't that true? Oh my gosh, I totally agree with that.
Because if you were running late for something, you'd probably compress the routine and get out the door faster. So maybe it's that you are giving yourself too much time. One thing I will caution people, like, so, you know, I read a lot of time management articles all the time that are saying, oh, do all this stuff to get ready the night before. Don't do that. I mean, because the problem is then you've just spread your getting ready over the night and the morning too. So it actually takes more time as opposed to less time. And, you know, you also, one of the things that does keep people up late at night is they feel like they need to do all this stuff to get ready for the next day. And then they want to have their me time. So it's like, oh, after I've packed all the lunches, after I've packed all these bags, I've lined up all the shoes in the hallway and all the coats. Well, then I can have my fun time. But of course, then it's already 10 o'clock at night and you should be in bed, but you don't want to be in bed because you haven't had any fun yet. And so then you go to bed too late. You wake up and you're tired in the morning and then you have a bad morning. So that's things that you thought would give you a good morning, give you a bad morning. It's really, you know, ironic that it happens this way. So, I would say, you know, first make sure you're getting enough sleep because mornings are shockingly easier when you are well rested. Imagine waking up before your alarm. Like that's kind of the goal. It may not always happen, but if you can feel that way, your mornings will feel a lot more energetic. You know, put something fun in the morning that you want to do. If it's a kind of exercise you love, or maybe you can, you know, do a creative project or spend some time with your family. And as for the getting ready stuff, you know, perfectionism, as we were talking about earlier, is really overrated. You probably, you know, just pare the outfits down to a couple that look really great on you and rotate through those. Get a haircut that works with your hair so it doesn't require all these elaborate, you know, stuff. It takes a lot of time to look like somebody else. I think we're mostly best off trying to work with what we've got.
And who do you admire in terms of their ability to manage time? I know you've interviewed tons of people, you've studied them, you've read so much over the years about time management, but who do you really admire?
You know, it's not really famous people that I admire. I admire people who come up with ways to make life work for them or who really think about their time. I mean, some of the people I interviewed for Off the Clock, I talked to a couple of principals, for instance, who tracked their time. They had actually people follow them around tracking their time to see what they were devoting their time to. Because if you think about a principal job, like what you want to be doing is really mentoring your teachers. In reality, what you spend a lot of time doing is dealing with, like, okay, the late bus, the mad parent who's calling, the, you know, fight in the lunchroom, the broken pipe, you got to figure out what's going on with that. And so all these things wind up consuming time that you really wish to have spent mentoring your teachers instead. And so, you know, I interviewed these principals who tracked their time and realized that and started figuring out ways that they could spend less time on the late buses and broken pipes and more time mentoring teachers. And as they do that, you know, test scores go up magically enough. Well, not magically enough, but it's really about how you invest your time. So I'm always, you know, in awe of people like that who've really impacted the world simply by thinking better about how they spend their time.
Laura, our show is called Nobody Told Me, and at the end of each show, we always ask our guests, what is your Nobody Told Me lesson? So what could nobody have told you before you started studying time management that would have made a big difference?
Well, I think one of the things I really would have liked to hear early on in life as I was, you know, pondering building my family and building my career is that it really is possible to do both. To spend a lot of time on both, to really feel like you're going all in on both, and yet also have enough time to sleep, to exercise, to read, to relax. There's 168 hours in a week, and we often focus on these sort of hard choice moments of like, oh, I was doing this business trip and missed X, Y, or Z, or I had to work late this night, or, you know, I was dealing with a crisis at home, and so I dropped the ball at work. We often focus on these hard choice moments, and they happen, but they're not the whole story. And so we can choose to focus on other times when life works great. And when we do that and we have that more holistic perspective on time, it really is possible to have it all.
And Laura, how can people connect with you online and find out more about your books and your work, your blog, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I hope your listeners will come visit me at my website, lauravanderkam.com, just my name. I blog, you know, usually about four times a week. If you have some extra podcast listening time after you've gone through all your episodes, Nobody Told Me, you can listen to my podcast, which is Best of Both Worlds, which is focused on issues of career and family from the perspective of people who love both. And I hope some of your listeners will also check out Off the Clock, which is my new book.
Well, our thanks to our guest, Laura Vanderkam, whose latest book, like she just said, is called Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. Her website, again, is lauravanderkam.com. I'm Laura Owens.
And I'm Jan Black.
And you've been listening to Nobody Told Me. Thanks for joining us.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.